And now some basic questions that seem to have no answers.
How old are you?
How old am I?
Yeah.
I'm 90 years old.
What was life like when you were a little girl?
Oh, God, I forgot so much. I've forgotten so much. I'm very sorry.
For someone who has lived nearly a century but is afflicted with advanced dementia, her life seems to be gone. Or is it?
I want to try an experiment.
What?
I want you to try and let the music take you back into your memories. To travel back into time. And then we'll stop and you can tell me where it took you. You ready?
It is not as though she never lived. Everything she did, of course, she actually did. But how to access that? Could her favorite songs constitute some kind of ledger book for her experiences, where memories can be accounted for? This is what Dan Cohen, the executive director of Music and Memory, believes he can find, has found, in Alzheimer's patients through music. He takes a pair of headphones with an iPod loaded with her favorite songs, and the memories suddenly spill forth.
Mama told us not to go to listen to him. We would sneak off at night, bring back pictures from the dance. And I worked in Kings County 9 years. He built in Kings County. My birthday, November 20th, 19. That was in the wartime. I was working at Fort Jackson. And my son, on February the 4th, was 69. I didn't know I could talk so much.
To see this transformation visually is pretty amazing. Even to hear it is remarkable enough. It is the story told in the new documentary, Alive Inside. Michael Rosato Bennett is the filmmaker behind the documentary. Dan Cohen told us this is a marriage of simple technology and common sense that delivers major insights into the functioning of the brain.
Most people spend their day sitting around doing nothing. Half the people never get a visitor in a nursing home on average. And so in 2006, I'd hear on the radio a journalist talking about how iPods are everywhere. And I thought, well, the kids all have them. A lot of us adults do. But, gee, in a nursing home, and if I'm ever in a nursing home, will I have access to my favorite 60s music? And so I Googled iPods and nursing homes. And even though there's 16,000 nursing homes in the U.S., I couldn't find one that was providing these for people. The way it's common today is that zero there. And so I called up, I live on Long Island, I called up a nursing home near me and I said, I know music's already your number one activity. You have live music, you have a lot of people sort of providing group music, but can we see if there is any added value if we were to totally personalize the music? And they said, sure. I came in with my laptop and some iPods and it was just, you know, an instant hit.
But hit doesn't really get to what you kind of do here in this movie where you really open a door.
I would actually argue that the word hit is a perfect description of what happens because, you know, that's what happened to me. I was just filming Dan for one day. I followed him almost unwittingly. It was just sort of a job, you know. So I ended up in this nursing home and looking around and seeing on every side of me these poor souls like in these wheelchairs lined up against the walls with their heads against their chest and it just was the most terrifying image for me of how to end your life or literally it literally seemed like one of the levels of Dante's Inferno, you know.
Hi, Papa.
Huh?
How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm fine.
Who am I?
Huh?
Who am I? I'm your daughter.
Daughter?
Mm-hmm. Which one?
Wait a minute.
And then when Henry was brought in and when Dan, you know, gave Henry the music.
You want your music now? Let's try your music, okay? And then you tell me if it's too loud or not, okay?
And when he started hearing it and when it started sort of percolating in his soul, literally, and percolating this human being out of him, you know. Me sitting there 2 feet away, I got hit. I got hit. You know, there's a physical, like spiritual, electrical experience that happens when you see a human being who wakes up, who comes to life.
Mm. And the music, you know, opens this door and takes you down through this corridor of an entire life. And suddenly these memories come out. And what's it like to experience that?
Well, it's of course, it's a joy to experience that. You know, we hear these numbers of there are 5.5 million people with Alzheimer's disease in the U.S. 40% of those have very advanced, are in the advanced stages of that disease. And we as a society basically believe that these folks are no longer able to experience pleasure. So we give up on them. We give them these drugs that dull them even further, and nobody pays attention to them. But if we can, you know, because if you ask them, oh, here, you know, hi, Dad, I'm here, that's not going to do it. But if you put, you know, headphones on with music that has personal meaning to them, then they'll start to talk and reminisce and interact and maybe remember the name of their spouse or their grandchild that's there with them. And this this impact is residual. So you take the headphones off, and it stays for the day. And then you put the headphones on the next morning, get some up, so it stays. So you can just create this ongoing level of interaction and aliveness just by feeding them this and connecting them with this sort of backdoor, bypassing the failing short-term memory, because they do have these long-term memories. That is not so much affected by the disease.
Did you expect visually this would be so vivid? You know, because this does sound, you know, without seeing the movie, like a kind of a nice charitable gesture, gives right. some people iPads. But visually, this is just astounding.
There is something that I completely did not expect, you know, and I think it's really why people are reacting to this film as much as they are emotionally. And what it is these people, they've lost so much in their mind, you know. They've lost their memory. They've lost, I like to say, they've lost the capacity to lie, you know. But their capacity to love is still very profound. And so what I think happens is when you're watching these people, you're seeing something you don't often get the chance to see. You know, a completely unprotected human soul, you know, and then you're seeing that soul reacting to music, which is one of the deepest human conversations that we have. You know, we never talk about music. Think of how central music is to all spiritualities, all civilizations throughout human history. It's probably pre-language. It is probably one of the longest conversations we've been having as our species, you know? So that's one of the things that I think really affects people, is that when you see these people who I thought were gone, I thought they were, I was like the people Dan was talking about, like our society. You know, we think these people are done, that their life is over, that they have no capacity to experience pleasure, you know? And it took me a year of filming before I could actually see the life in these people.
How did you do the forensics on individual people in the sense of how did, you know, if they can't remember the tunes that really are personal to them, that relate to their specific memories, how did you find out what the favorites were, what the playlists were that were going to work with each of these individuals?
This is probably the hardest part. So if they have family, that's great. We'll ask them questions. Gee, what did they listen to when they were young? Did they play an instrument? Were they in a chorus or a choir? And then once you have that list, you have it for the rest of their life.
Hmm. Anyone can relate to this experience in this movie. Right. I mean, that's the thing. You don't have to. It's not about dementia so much as it is about, oh, I've got that playlist.
Can I ask you that question? Like, if I ask you to close your eyes just for 1 second and go back to when you were 15 or 16 years old, and think of one song that was meaningful to you back then, like really think about it, feel it in your body, and then give me the memory that comes from that
oh,
thought.
God.
Come on.
There's so many. Since my dad played in a Dixieland band, there's a song called Lass's Trombone. If I close my eyes and hear that Dixieland tune, I can see like my whole family and my dad right up there on stage. And
I just want to point out that the temperature in the room just changed when you started talking like that, because you went into a place of memory. You went into your emotional system. You went into a different part of your being. And this is the amazing thing about this interaction, and why, you know, we, Dan and I, have this dream that we can inspire young people to do this experiment. There's this huge population of elders that need that forensic work done.
Yeah. You know? I've got some Zeppelin videos, too, in my brain that I could go to, that's for sure. Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
This has been really terrific.
Thank you so much.
Excellent.